Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and it's my podcast on Stories for Joshua. We are in day 23, Football Journey Part 4. I promise that this won't go on forever. There'll be an end to this football journey, but I've got a couple more stories I'd like to tell. I walked into the gym, and Coach Bud Phillips said, "Congratulations." I said, "What for?" He asked me if I'd read the paper today, and I said I hadn't, and he told me that I'd been selected for the Shrine Bowl. This was a shock. I had come from a no-name junior in high school to what is the biggest honor in the state of North Carolina for high school football players. Was this real? Turns out it was. I got home that night, and there it was in the paper. Soon after, I received an official letter asking me if I wanted to attend, which I accepted immediately, and now the real fun began. Let me explain. The Shrine Bowl in the Carolinas means 33 seniors from North Carolina play in a bowl game in Charlotte, North Carolina, against 33 seniors from South Carolina. We got out of school for a week during the month of December to practice and play, and every college coach east of the Mississippi and some beyond were there to see the top prospects of both states. This was a dream come true and a make it or break it situation for college scholarships and for your future. Right before I left, Coach Bud said to me, "Now the first day you get on the field, the coach is going to come up and talk to everybody. And then he's going to put the football down on the ground and say, 'Give me a center, two guards, two tackles.' As soon as he says that, be the first center to jump on the ball." That was Coach Bud's advice, and very good advice. There were three centers invited: me, Larry Tutu from Wilmington, and Jim Tomanchek from a big 4A high school in Charlotte. Larry and I were roommates and about the same size, 6 foot, 200 pounds. But Jim Tomanchek, he was a towering, at least to us, 6'2", 220 to 230 pounds, and looked like a giant compared to me and Larry. But it didn't matter. Just as Coach Bud said, the first day the coach talked to us, put the ball on the ground, and before he could even get out of the way, I was standing over the ball. So, I was first team offense that day, and I never lost my spot. By game time on Saturday, I was the starting center. Jim Tomanchek snapped punts and extra points, which is fine with me because I didn't like either one of them. So let me back up a little bit. Larry Tutu was a Samoan and my roommate. He was from a big family who were all great football players. He had brothers that were outstanding. He was quiet at first, didn't say much, but you could tell that when it came to football, he was no joke. The first question he asked me when we were in our room was if I like to use my head when I hit. Now, if you're not a football player, you don't really know what that means. But if you do play football or had played football, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Larry was a linebacker and a center and tough as nails. That night when we went to bed, he knelt by his bed to say his prayers. In typical Larry fashion, he looks up at me and says, "Don't you pray?" I told him I'd already said my prayers, and so he went back to his. On the way to the field the next day, Larry and I sat on the bus together, and as we pulled up, he said, "We may be friends now, but when we get on the field, we aren't." Later that week, when the final starting lineup came out, Larry said to me, "You were the first person to ever beat me out at center." A man, a few words, but as starting linebacker for us that year, he won the most valuable defensive player of the game, and that's saying something. Every day we were treated like kings. Recruiters everywhere, in the hotel, in the practice field, in the hallways, stopping to talk to you and tell you about their school. It was a Disneyland for high school football players, like a dream. We ate all our meals in a big cafeteria, North and South Carolina together. In the middle of the cafeteria, against the wall, was a big scale to weigh yourself. Now, why it was there, I have no idea. But there it was. It was one of those big scales with a huge round face and a needle that went from 0 at 12 o'clock position all the way around to 100 at 12 o'clock position again. So if you weighed a little more than 100, it would go around once and then go to the 120, 130, 140, so on. Well, South Carolina had a Goliath of a lineman, and every night after the evening meal, about 10 or 15 South Carolina guys would walk up with him to the scale, and he would get on the scale, and the dial would spin three times around, making 300 pounds, and then they'd all cheer and laugh. It was a crazy land. My only thought was, I hope he plays offense because I'm not sure I want to block him. Turns out he was a defensive tackle in their 5-2 front, but he wasn't over me as a nose tackle at least. He played defensive tackle down the line. I hit him on one play and it was like being sucked into a pillow. He didn't budge, but he didn't make the tackle either. The nose tackle over me was about 5'10 or so and weighed 240, 250 at least. They'd grown big in South Carolina. All I remember was him in front of me in a three-point stance, swinging his meat hook of an arm that was free before each snap, ready to club me. I didn't have size advantage, but I'd always been quick, and I knew the count. So I might have snapped the ball a millisecond ahead of the count just so I could get off before that club hit me, and I did. I played a good game, but we lost by a few points, and it was over. Coaches and families rushed the field to congratulate us, and that was about it. But that one door opened up the world for me. I had taken full advantage of it, and it set a course for the next 4 years, and really for the rest of my life, which I'll explain in another post. But that's all I have for you today, and I hope to see you tomorrow.